When the beast's in town, the trousers are down.
Well, sorry about that last one. yeah, we were terribly drunk.
Apologies.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, I can't even remember what we talked about.
Anus, horribilis.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's taken us a month to recover. And we are back with sexy, sexy times.
Oh, yeah.
Valentine special.
Episode 9, the sexy edition.
Yeah, who'd have thought we'd got this far?
Yeah. So I wanted to kick off, if it's okay, just talk some comic shit.
Okay, like, you know, sexy, like, comics.
Well, not really, no. Sorry, but it will get sexy in a bit. But I think it's fair to say McVeigh's your film knowledge, I would say, is way above mine.
Thank you. I'll say that as well.
I
do have a degree in film after all.
Like you'd know, like when it's said about the Ghostbusters being directed by Paul Feig, I wouldn't have known who Paul Feig is. You know,
right.
You knew. And The Equalizer, I wouldn't have known. You know, I wouldn't have known. You probably know the director of that, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's Antoine Fuqua.
Yeah, exactly. But I like to think, maybe I'm being arrogant now, I like to think my comic knowledge maybe.
Absolutely.
You know, balances things out.
I'll agree with that.
And I've been a bit out of touch comic. Well, I've been kind of lazy ordering stuff off Amazon on the cheap and not visiting the comic shop, because I live quite far away from any comic shops. But I made a trip last weekend and did a bit of comic shopping.
That's good. Support your local comic vendor.
Fucking A. Went to Travelling Man and Forbidden Planet in Manchester, and I got issue 1 of the new Marvel Star Wars, which is really, really good. Really like it. Really nicely illustrated in a very cinematic way. Very, it's presented as if you're watching a film that begins straight after episode 4, and
it's a bridge in the gap between Thor and Empire.
Exactly.
Nice.
And it's also the artists have used, they're like wielding the big guns, and they've really gone for kind of facial likenesses rather than, you know, which, you know, you kind of lose a bit of character, don't you, when things are that close to what people actually looked like. But it's great. You know, I can see why they've done that, because they want to get everyone on board. But that's Marvel Star Wars back to Marvel in a big ass way.
It looks tasty.
Amen. And then there was also our pal Rob Richardson, friend of the show, who gunned us down for saying Constantine wrong. Apparently we should be saying Constantine.
Yeah, but doesn't the TV show call him Constantine?
Yeah, but we've been Americanized, apparently.
Okay.
But I think we'd sound like dicks if we change it now, though.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, but sorry, apologies to Rob. But Rob put me onto a recent run of Hawkeye by... Oh, fuck. I've forgotten the person's name, bollocks. But
I remember you raving about that.
Yeah, it's really worth read, very pop culturally, which Marvel... I think Marvel traditionally does the pop culture stuff perhaps better than DC.
Maybe.
With all your kind of spidey cultural refs, that kind of thing. And I never thought I'd find myself buying a Hawkeye comic. I always thought it was like a sort of limp dick Green Arrow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the kind of new look to Hawkeye. He looks cool.
Good.
He's a bit of a sort of dude, bit of a stoner sort of vibe from it.
Alright.
And there's even a great panel where he's caught by some gangsters in the nude in bed, and he jumps across the room, and to cover his dignity they use a face of the kind of Jack Kirby era Hawkeye.
That's a nice touch.
Check it out. It's illustrated very sort of, if anyone's read Year One, that kind of David Mazzucchelli, you know, quite real life looking style in quite a cool way, quite obvious nod to that. But nicely drawn, written by Matt Fraction, who's a bit of a...
That's a name.
Yeah.
It's a right good name.
Yeah. Apparently he's a mover and player on the scene, so
right.
Maybe he'll end up doing some DC shit, I wonder.
Sounds like the hero from a kid's cartoon or something.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a pretty solid name.
Definitely.
Also, another news. John Romita Jr., who traditionally was a Spider-Man artist, and then he moved on, did Kick-Ass. He was the Kick-Ass guy. DC had just pilfered him, and he started drawing Superman, which is really, really enjoying, really like it. Still in comic form, it's not going to be collected till the summer. And I like the fact, I was saying to Matt very early, I like the fact it looks... He gets a bit shit for his style because it's quite raw and a bit blocky, but I like the fact it looks like achievable. I feel like I could, on a good day, I could sort of come somewhere near it.
So it's inspirational?
Yeah, exactly.
Or aspirational, I guess.
Rather than look at, say, like Sara Pichelli's work or something and feel like jumping off a bridge and never drawing again or whatever. So it's all good. And one last thing, and then I'll shut the fuck up.
I bet you feel that about Rob Liefeld as well, don't you? Oh, man who can't draw feet. Doesn't need to draw feet.
Mind you, you know.
Bastard.
Everyone hates Liefeld, but likes Jim Lee. That's what I don't get.
Jim Lee's way better.
It's the same style.
Jim Lee's better.
It's the only refined version of the same style.
I don't know. At least Jim Lee's people are a bit in proportion to a degree.
That kind of muscly, scratchy style.
Yeah.
McFarlane all the way for me.
Yeah, good.
Still the master. You know.
I was thinking, seeing as this is sexy, we're turning it sexy. Yeah. I reckon Jim Lee could probably draw his own porn.
I think he probably still does.
Probably
to
does.
Be honest.
Yeah. Like Alex Ross does as well, I guess.
When Jim Lee draws stuff like Batman's crotch, though. Mm. You'll put like muscles in the crotch.
Love muscle, man.
I don't need to see bat fucking cock muscles. That's not why I signed on for this comic, you know. The last one was more obscure. It was there was the Noah film last year by Darren Aronofsky.
Oh yeah, didn't see that. I wanted to watch it.
Me neither. I've been holding off because I wanted to get the book for Christmas, which I did, and. It looks fucking amazing. I've yet to read it. I've just sort of flipped through it.
A comic book of Noah.
Yeah, he basically before he made the film, or perhaps alongside it, he did a full length graphic novel.
I did not know this.
Yeah, and right. It's drawn by somebody called Ari Handel, I believe, and it's on a quite penciled style, but with very beautiful digital colour, organic look. And I've not read the story, but I've got a feeling I know what happens. And but yeah, check it out, Noah.
Good.
Flew a bit under the radar, but I was just lucky, just caught it online, and good investment.
Sounds cool.
Yeah. So there you go.
Any news? Comic roundup. I've got nothing. Are we off comics?
Yeah. Let's go off comics.
One thing that's caused, I suppose, a bit of a stir of late is the announcement of the long-awaited Ghostbusters sequel. And people are up in arms because they'd rather see fat Dan Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson mincing about, huffing and puffing. Mm. Ooh! Well, what's his name? Bill Murray just washes his hands of the whole thing. But this way, I think... Oh yeah, if you don't actually know, the director of Bridesmaids is doing...
It's not knocked up. And The Heat.
The Heat's good. The Heat's entertaining. And Knocked Up. Right. Knocked Up's Judd Apatow.
Knocked Up's a pile of shit, mate. Sorry.
It is shit. I'm not even saying I like it. I'm getting your facts right. But Bridesmaids was wicked. I enjoyed it a lot. And it's got the lovely Kristen Wiig in it. And Melissa McCarthy's in it. Uh-huh. Kate McKinnon off of SNL.
Saturday Night Live, is that?
Yeah, she's really good. Yeah. And something Jones, it was also off SNL, and I haven't seen one sketch of it. But I think female-led Ghostbusters is the right way to go, considering what their options were, what the alternatives were. If you wanted another Ghostbusters film, I think this is a fine way to go.
I'm not sure I agree, to be honest.
Well, what would you have them do?
Well, I mean, I can understand like the team being male before had a male dynamic, didn't it? So it's like, okay, if you're going to stick women in it. Maybe it should be all female because then you've got a female dynamic.
Mm.
I get that. I've never read the Ghostbusters comics since about the 80s, but I know that they've done the woman team in the comic, apparently.
Okay.
Which the so-called hardcore fans don't seem to fucking reference or know about.
Right.
If you know what I mean. So, thought of fair play on that front. But then, there was, you know, there was the game a few years ago. I was saying online.
Good fun that.
Yeah, it was like I never played it all the way through, but I just watched a few demos and stuff, and it looked really good. And the Wii version, because I've got Wii, I was looking at the Wii version, and they kind of really pixared the characters in order for it to be able to run.
Yeah,
because you know, it's obviously it's not as good as an Xbox or PS3 or whatever. And people started talking about the possibility of an animated film, and it seemed to be like about to happen, basically.
Yeah, yeah, I think that could have worked.
I got the impression the only reason it didn't is because Bill Murray fucking, you know, threw a spanner in it again.
Mm.
And you sort of think, well, fucking, you know, you've put your voice on Garfield.
Yeah.
You've made Mad
Dog. Twice.
Yeah, yeah. You made Mad Dog and Glory, which is fucking awful. It's one of the fucking worst films I've ever sat through. Well, it's a bit of an exaggeration. It's fucking shit. Bill Murray and De Niro in a film, you'd think, oh, great, I watched that. It's fucking... It's even got... what's the name for Pulp Fiction?
Uma Thurman.
Yeah, yeah. She was okay in it, to be fair.
But never seen it.
Yeah, don't bother, don't bother. And then, so he's made a few stinkers, basically. So,
yeah.
But then, so what's his problem with doing a third Ghostbusters in animated form?
I don't know, he's a contrary sod, I guess.
Yeah. But I would have been happy if they'd have done it and just got the cartoon going to fucking be Bill Murray, you know, because... To be honest, he's been Venkman way more than Bill Murray has. He's probably got 700 hours of Venkman.
Yeah. And he was also the voice of Garfield, weirdly, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Maurice LaMarche.
Yeah. Suave.
Yeah. So that would have been what I would have wanted to see, even if it didn't have Bill Murray in it.
Okay, that makes sense. I was thinking that all the people up in arms only had a different alternative, like live action film in mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't actually consider the animated bit. So I'll agree with you.
Going back though, wouldn't you agree though? Okay, so it's quite an extreme move, isn't it, to have four women, right? Do you not think that if they'd have, say, planned like two films, maybe even three, well, see, like, plan two, see how it goes, maybe do a third.
Mm.
Then the first one, because like at the start of the second Ghostbusters, it's like Aykroyd, well, Stanson, Zeddemore are both like doing kids' parties and they're sort of porky and burnt out.
It's all a bit depressing, yeah.
Perhaps a bit more of that, as them as old men kind of bringing in a younger crowd to the team. Just to kind of sweeten the deal a bit, you know, ease things in.
So pass the baton over, if you
want. Yeah, yeah. And the second one's kind of like, you know, the baton's passed and they're in the background. Maybe Bill Murray fucking shows up now and again if he wants to, and maybe like one of the girls supposed to be Egon's daughter or something stupid like that, you know, like maybe McCarthy could be a geeky Egon daughter or...
Yeah, yeah.
I would have thought that would have been less likely to get the knee jerk that it's got.
I think you could be right there. Yeah. But they've not announced any plot details though, have they? Have they?
No, that's
not major ones.
Yeah. They might show up in it. They've not said they're not in it, have they?
No, exactly.
Ernie Hudson said it's going to be a pile of shit. And then 2 days later, backtracked to avoid the feminazi onslaught.
I would like to be in it. I love that picture. Shit. I love that picture that's been doing the rounds of Ernie Hudson at a convention. And he's just leaning over a desk wearing his Ghostbusters outfit. And right behind him is a standee of himself. And it looks like he's doing himself up the bum. Right funny.
Yeah, of course, also known for... he was in The Crow, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, yeah. Yeah.
As the cop.
Yeah.
The detective.
Albrecht.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll see what happens anyway, I guess.
Yeah.
I'll certainly give that Paul Feig, is it? I'll give him 3 o'clock High. That was 80s gold.
I've never seen that.
You've never seen 3 o'clock High?
No.
Oh, mate.
Should I have seen it?
Check that out, yeah. It's, all right. It's kind of... If I had to choose between that and Ferris Bueller, 3 o'clock High would win it.
Oh, hang on.
Mile.
Is it?
Kind of like a Peter Parker type guy without spider powers gets into a fight situation.
Is he about to, like, is the 3 o'clock he's going to have a fight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His bully guy's going to beat him up at three.
Is it the kid with the 3D glasses from Back to the Future?
Oh, mate, I don't know.
I think it's
sure.
him. Yeah, I think I have seen that years ago.
It might have been in Young Guns, actually. Maybe not. I might be wrong about that, but...
Well, we have the internet at our disposal. Let's have a bloody look.
That means I talk to myself for 10 minutes while we wait for your phone to stop buffering.
Shut your ass, man.
But yeah, so that's positive, because I really liked 3 o'clock High. And it's got, hasn't it got, I remember the bully guy was in some kind of supernatural type show. He was like, you know, one of these ghost hunter type guys or alien hunters or whatever.
It's Casey saying Masco is the lead kid.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, he was in Back to the Future. He's a 3D kid.
Oh,
Back to the Future.
Boy. That's proof of McVeigh's comic knowledge. Achieved via technology in this case.
Shut up, I've just proven myself correct. proven me right. Okay. Yeah. But yeah. Anyway.
Oh, could I tell? Maybe I could tell my Save the Children story.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking dicks.
Yeah, but being a big little philanthropist.
You're a good kind man. You're quite kind, sir.
I had a £6 debit going to Save the Children.
Six
sweet pounds. And then I discovered that they were giving 163 grand of their donations to some fat fuck in London called Justin Forsyth.
Not fucking.
Who's on performance related pay, and he's on like 20 odd grand more than David Cameron. And then they started giving humanitarian awards to Tony Blair. So I'm like, fuck this, cancel the debit.
Yeah.
Well, I got all this information handy and waited for the call. The call came at the right time. Yeah. Said to the guy who rang, didn't let him get a word in. I saw it was there because I'd logged their number. Answered it, said, "Hi, Save the Children. I know why you're ringing, because I've cancelled my debit. Would you like to know why?" Guy's like, yes. Said, "Well, firstly, I know this wasn't your doing, not your fault, it's nothing personal, but..." BAM! Fucking hit him with stats. Big time.
Did you
I wish I should have recorded it for the podcast.
I'm picturing you with a notepad and glasses on the bridge on the end of your nose, and you're like, "And another thing."
You know what? I'm gonna rejoin the charity and then sack them off again, just so I can record the fan conversation. But when I mentioned Blair, cause he had nothing for the first bit. But when I mentioned Blair, he actually had a retort spiel they'd given him.
Really?
Yeah, he tried to give it me. I'm like, don't want to hear it, mate.
What did he say?
And I lied and said, "Oh, I'm very well read on the Tony Blair situation," which I wasn't. I didn't need fuck all. I just knew they gave Tony Blair some humanitarian award for his work with children and all this shit. I'm like, this is the guy who illegally started a war in Iraq.
So they, I guess there you go. That's the focus, isn't it?
Yeah, and like, I mean, it's getting to the point where it's bring politics into it, but like, basically, the House of Lords are now gunning for him. They fucking want him to go down.
Yeah,
the Lords are on his ass.
Crazy.
Those are mainly Tory boys, aren't they?
Yeah.
Old Tories want to drop him. So, but I'm with them on this one.
But I guess with the Save the Children, they obviously they're not bothered about the war in Iraq. It's like, in terms of what he did for kids, if you take that on its own.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
That, I guess, is that what it's for? Just for the kid thing?
I'll be honest, I'm not a well-read at all.
I've no idea. I don't really. We should probably move on, get off this hot potato.
Can I tell my robbery story quick?
What robbery story?
Being injured in a robbery last night.
Bloody hell. It's all go around your way, isn't it?
I was getting a tenner out of the cash machine. Noticed someone had parked their bike next to me without a chain on or anything. I thought, that seems a bit brave, because the co-op's not far from Withenshaw, which is
a bit of
a rough area, to be honest. Sorry for any Withenshaw listeners.
Scrubbers! I don't know, I've never even been to Withenshaw, I'm joking.
So I'm thinking, yeah, you don't want to be it was in Heald Green, which is alright, but I'm thinking, yeah, you don't want to leave your bike around it. And then suddenly, as I'm getting my tenner out, I'm getting the back of my leg totally scuffed to fuck by this guy racing off on his bike. I'm like, ah!
You get a good look at this criminal?
Just a bit of an angular. I don't know, it looks a bit like you.
Stick.
I mean, one of your cousins or something. the other McVeigh.
Cousin Tim.
Yeah. And he did apologise, though, as he sped off. And then I realised two blokes in the shop were bombing after him. And two old biddies appeared from nowhere, like out of thin air.
Right.
Like Quantum Leap style, you know. And like, "Oh, he's just robbed the shop." And he had a big bag. It looked like he'd just shoved a load of booze in a bag, or maybe just grabbed a stash of notes and legged it.
Well, at least he was nice to you. Polite. Apologised for his transgression.
Gentleman burglar.
Wow.
You sexy motherfucker.
Okay, continuing the love theme, I spoke with my friend Marcus Daly, who used to run the Electric Soup Kitchen podcast, which was the inspiration for this podcast. I said to Marcus, do you know anything, any songs that have got a bit of a love theme, romance theme, that kind of thing? Marcus came back with some public domain music. An old jazz singer from the 30s, his name was Bessie Smith. So according to Wikipedia, Bessie was the most popular female blues singer of the 20s and 30s, and she's regarded as one of the greatest singers of her era, and along with Louis Armstrong, a major influence on other jazz vocalists. And sadly, Bessie died. She died in 1937, and she was only 43, and it was a pretty heartbreaking tale. So her car was hit by another car, and they took her to a black hospital rather than a white hospital. And the black hospital was quite far away, and that was the cause, basically the cause of her death. She would have lived if she hadn't grown, you know, lived in an area where there was inequality. So pretty sad tale. And I hope you like this one. I think it's got a beautiful kind of beautiful voice along the kind of same lines as Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald. A bit more kind of gravelly. You can hear a lot of pain in there, and really good stuff. Much too good for this podcast, but we're going to play it anyway. So this is the Empty Bed Blues.
Oh, that I never had before. When he got to teaching me from my elbow down, what sore. He bought my first cabin and he made it awful hard. He bought my first cabin and he made it awful hard. Then he put in the bacon, it overflowed the pot. When you get good loving, never go and spread the news. Gals will double cross you and leave you with them empty bedrooms.
So we're back.
We're back. The main topic this episode, Valentine's special.
When the beast's in town, the trousers are down.
Oh,
high
shit.
Five.
That was yeah. Shit, sir. So undo my buckle.
So, go for
yeah,
it.
In honour of, well, I don't know what, in honour, acknowledgement of 50 Shades of Grey coming out for Valentine's Day.
Uh-huh.
The film adaptation, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson,
okay,
who did yeah. Nowhere Boy. It's her second film.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. She married Kick-Ass.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, dirty old cow.
She's 42 and he was 19. They got two kids now.
Bloody
hell. I know.
No way.
Good on her. But yeah, she's done the adaptation of 50 Shades of Grey. Hotly anticipated by a lot of people, but not me, because what I read of the book was shit.
Right, you actually read some of it.
Well, I read a blog in which someone read it and then told us about it.
Right.
And just was utterly dismissive of the... It was apparently written in a terrible manner. But it didn't stop it from being one of the biggest selling books ever.
Isn't the gist is basically an older man meets a student girl and sort of opens her mind to sexy...
BDSM is what it's all about.
What has the beast done for?
Bondage, domination,
okay. Yeah.
Sadism, and masochism.
Uh-huh.
Like
yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, so that's going to be a serious trousers down or skirt up moment for the ladies at the cinema.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd offer our own take on sexy films, and I think initially I think it makes sense to start formative years.
Yeah.
Where we first, before we hit puberty, maybe, but you know. Stirring down below.
Where the shorts came down. Short trousers.
Got a little chubby going there, huh?
So what's going on?
For me, when we thought about this topic, I was like, initially I went to Basic Instinct, and I thought, no, it was something before that. And it was weirdly The Tall Guy. Comedy starring Jeff Goldblum and Emma Thompson, and I think it's directed by Mel Smith.
He's
an actor or a jobbing actor.
Quite a forgotten British comedy, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's one of the good ones.
It's pretty funny, as I recall. But Emma Thompson as a short haired nurse. Just something about it. I was like, oh shit!
Yeah, with and some toast on the bottom.
Absolutely, yeah. needs some butter on it.
Rare example of a sexy, kind of love scene where. With a bit of comedy in it.
Yeah.
It's not often seen, is it?
I know. Yeah. And I think since then, I've always had a little soft spot in my heart for Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
Because she woke me up.
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, there's the obvious, you know, like... I mean, it's the obvious thing to say if someone of our generation is obviously Princess Leia. At the more formative kind of age where... where the trousers weren't quite as short, it got to go to Jessica Rabbit, really.
Ooh.
You know, no one struts the stuff like Jessica.
Quite right. Sultry.
Yeah, and a lot of it was the voice acting as well, because sexy tones of, what's her name? The lady from Crimes of Passion. Fuck.
Oh, it's Kathleen Turner.
Kathleen Turner, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Kathleen Turner, very sexy voice.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good.
Jessica Rabbit and Kathleen Turner get the short trouser vote.
Cool. But when we get into Big Boy Pants, it's got to be Basic Instinct. Jesus Christ.
I wore
that VHS ragged. It was a gift that kept on giving to a teenage me. And Sharon Stone will be forever respected for her services to mankind, I think. And also, Basic Instinct is actually a cracking film, which is quite—it's quite nice that I watched it initially for all the sexy action,
and
then having appreciated and learned, like, got a taste for cinema. It's nice to appreciate it as a fucking solid noirish film, courtesy of Paul Verhoeven.
It is actually quite a good detective kind of story, isn't it?
It really is, yeah.
Despite, you know, the obvious soft porn moments.
No, it was cracking. And then I think the year after that, Sliver came out.
Oh, yeah.
Which had her and William Baldwin in.
Yeah.
But that wasn't as good. It was only 15. All you saw was a bit of soapy nipple, if I recall.
Is William Baldwin the one from Homicide, the TV show we were on about last time?
I think he might be. He's the one with the thinnish face.
No, that's... No, it won't be him.
Okay.
He's, yeah. Okay. So you went for Basic Instinct. Right, I've got one. One of the other most rewound moments in the 90s, I would say, is the moment Erika Eleniak busts out a cake in Under Siege.
Oh, happy birthday!
the Steven Seagal classic.
The last great Steven Seagal film, I would say.
Really, right?
I think it was his fifth one, and that was it.
Yeah,
phoning it in ever since.
Because you're a proper Steven Seagal fan, aren't you? You've been to see him play show, haven't you?
No, I wanted to.
Oh, right.
I wanted to. No one would go with me, though.
Has he got a blues band, is it?
He's got a blues band called Thunderbox. He's got two albums out. There's an album called... when this comes out, we should actually put a link to it. There's a track on his album. It's either on Songs from the Crystal Cave or his other album, Mojo Priest.
Right.
And it's a dancehall ragga number with some badass Jamaican woman dropping some chips. Oh, Steven Seagal! And you get to hear Steven Seagal say that he wants the panani.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Oh, it's awful. But it's amazing that it exists. So, doff of the cap to Seagal there.
Yeah, because but Under Siege was in general a really good film.
Yeah.
A really good action flick.
You quality,
know,
a
bit different because it's based on a boat and it's sort of kind of a hijack story.
Yeah.
And,
well, it's Die Hard on a boat, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is.
Just the cook.
It's quite the cake scene is ridiculously shoehorned in.
Yeah,
it doesn't even make any sense that it happens because for some reason before she does her act, she takes a load of diazepam, falls asleep, and then wakes up ready for her act the second the music comes on.
Yeah,
as if she was never asleep or nothing's just happened. And pretty sure I've had diazepam when I had trouble sleeping once. Fucking gunshots and bombs going off. You'd well wake up.
Yeah.
It's basically like falling asleep after five beers or something.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Okay, that's your most far-fetched moment of Under Siege. I think that Gary Busey in a dress, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, Busey.
Oh, good work.
So yeah, any more?
Oh yeah, God, there's loads. I think Julie Christie.
Oh yes,
bloody hell! Yeah.
Very attractive woman.
Yeah. What would we say?
Classy lady as well.
Yeah.
You know, dare I say, too classy for us?
I'd say so. Yeah. Yeah. You'd feel wrong. You'd feel a bit bad, wouldn't you? I don't deserve this. Helen Mirren. Helen Mirren. And was it Peter Greenaway's The Cook, the Thief, His Wife, and Her Lover? I remember seeing that on Channel 4 whilst being a youngin.
Wasn't she in that King Arthur film as well? Was it Lancelot? No, Camelot, isn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah.
From the early 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
She's pretty damn hot in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just as I was saying earlier, you know, as Prime Suspect went on, it seemed to be the case that at some point Prime Suspect was basically short series, wasn't it? In different stages.
Yeah.
At some point within each short series, she'd get a top off and... It increased the camera focus became increasingly blurry as Helen Mirren got older, you know, to disguise the wrinkly assets.
Shut up! Leave her alone. God.
I was going to say,
It's not a great film. This one, Wild Things.
Oh yeah,
Wild Things. Yeah,
Wild Things.
Very sexy film. It's quite a clever film. Got Bill Murray in it, coincidentally.
Yeah. Right.
Shows up briefly. Neve Campbell, I've never really liked or even fancied.
No, she's never done much for me.
Nah, talentless, silly. I don't know.
Well,
she can piss off. but Christina Richardson or Richards?
Denise Richards.
Sorry, Denise Richards.
Charlie Sheen's ex.
Really?
Yeah. Mother of his kids, I think.
Bloody hell, I didn't realise that.
Yeah.
There's quite a sexy scene where Matt Dillon's like, it's a bit of a dark one. Matt Dillon's supposed to be her teacher, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
And there's basically a bit of a threesome scene where Neve Campbell does nothing and Denise Richards
does all the work.
Does a kind of sexy schoolgirl kind of act. And I think she's supposed to be above the age of consent, so, you know.
Well, that's all right.
But I saw it in the cinema, and I thought I was in there on my own.
You were hoping you were in there on your own.
And that's probably the closest I've come to actually doffing the trousers in a public place. I even looked around, so I'll reveal that info.
The cheeky glance.
And sadly, no, it didn't happen. But,
I'm sorry you didn't get to masturbate in public, Jim.
Taxi driver style. Do you know what? I've got a good story that takes us off piste slightly.
Okay.
Basically, years ago, I was probably about 21, something like that, back from university for the summer. I could for some reason every time I got back, I could never get a fucking summer job. Like, they'd all gone by the time I got back. Either that or I'd look like a twat and no one's employed. But I could always get a job in term time, but never in the summer for some reason. Anyway, so I met up with a friend on John, and we're both kind of sat around at home bored, and we said, "Oh, let's go to the showroom, which is like a sort of local art cinema." And we said, "Oh, let's just take a punt on a film. I don't know what any of these films are." We just went to see the one with the best title,
right?
And I really, 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 really fucking hate getting rained on and getting wet legs. If I got wet legs, and I can't do anything about it, I fucking hate it.
Okay.
So I got wet legs before the cinema. A proper like I just jumped in the swimming pool. It was that bad. That's
unfortunate.
Yeah, and I was thinking, oh, I've got to sit through a film now with these wet legs. And then I realised I'd wearing shorts under the trousers, right?
Ah.
Proper like gym shorts.
Clever.
So I don't know why. And so I said to Anjon in the film, I was like, "Listen, I've got shorts on under my trousers. I hate having wet legs. I'm going to drop the trousers." Pull them up at the end.
So you had them around your ankles?
Yeah, pulled the trousers down. I just sat there in my shorts. No one's any the wiser. And then the film was shit. So I can't remember what it was called, but there was bits where you could even see the boom mic in it and the top of the set. It was really badly put together. And it had like some people who were semi-known, like there was a woman who's been in a few Spike Lee films and that kind of thing, sort of Italian-looking actress, and so it kind of wasn't a total pile of shit. Cause they had some decent actors and actresses in it, but it was just really bad, a shit film. Anyway, halfway through, some blokes start copping off in it, and we realised we're essentially watching borderline gay porn.
Okay.
And then I remembered coming in and seeing the banner, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, season.
Okay.
And I was looking around thinking, I'm sat here with Anjon with my fucking trousers down watching this soft gay porn. So I kept trying to sneak the trousers up, and every time I tried it seemed like someone's head had turned. It's like, ooh. So we had to wait till the credits had rolled and everyone was gone, and then waiting for this woman on the door to disappear so I could like whip them up and sneak out, and she never disappeared. So I had to stand up, pull up my still wet trousers as if Anjon had just been blowing me off or whatever. So that was a pretty grim moment, but I mean, I don't mind being I don't mind being mistaken for being gay, but I didn't really like the idea
I guess that's
Moon Angel. Shaggy in the cinema.
If I was gay, I wouldn't be into him anyway. Blimey, that's not how I imagined your first Trousers Down in a cinema experience to go.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry for that.
Jeez. That's a nice anecdote, man. Bloody hell.
What have you got for me?
I guess moving on. Like going back to the funny women that we started off on the show about. The Holy Trinity of Tina Fey, Kristen Wiig, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Specifically, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who was always cute in Seinfeld.
Right.
Then she appeared in the likes of Curb Your Enthusiasm as herself. And now she's in Veep. And she's just getting so much hotter as she gets older.
Yeah.
But, I've just listed women here who are fit.
So maybe we put out a call to input.
Yeah.
Input to this episode, so partly to share the blame of this filthy subject matter.
Yeah.
And so
we haven't had a lot of responses, but thank you to those of you who did.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
So the first response that I got was from a singer of Hot Beat Combo, The Clench.
Hey.
Joe Meredith. Thanks, Joe. He chimed in with Lena Romay. She's not a household name, but in certain circles she will be. And she was a sexy seductress who was the wife of exploitation dude Jess Franco.
Right.
Star of such classic films as Barbed Wire Dolls and The Female Vampire. And holy shit, I got the same birthday as her. Thanks, Wikipedia.
No way.
Yeah, The Bare-Breasted Countess, The Erotic Adventures of Robinson Crusoe, The Erotic Rites of Frankenstein. Yeah, a pretty lady. Pretty lady. Yeah. And I guess Joe, God bless him, is continuing to get mileage out of her works.
He's got a bit of a soft spot for her.
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, cheers to Joe for bearing his trouser soul there. Did he add anything else? Is that any more?
No, he just went with Lena Romay, and that was good enough for him, I think.
Yeah, sounds good. I got one from James Wainwright, who Sheffield listeners might know from a band called Chimera. Around about 10 years ago.
I remember them.
Yeah, he was the drummer.
Right.
He was like a bit of an animal, a bit of a monster behind the kit.
Ooh.
And he's a regular listener.
Oh.
Which is good to hear.
Nice one.
So
shout
out to James.
Nice one, James.
James threw us quite a good one, actually. Pixelated Woman.
Ooh.
no bullshit, my favourite ever computer game, full stop. Golden Axe.
A fine game.
Yeah.
We're kicking those little... Those little gnomes who come and bring you potions.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't turned on by those gnomes. It was.
I hope not.
At the start, you've got the choice. You've got the barbarian. You've got the what's he called? The dwarf guy, and you've got the Amazonian woman who's a bit Red Sonja-y.
Yeah.
She's wearing a kind of Princess Leia style sort of reddish bikini, and she's pretty badass actually. When I often play as her because she's got the best magic. She can bring a big dragon down.
I was always the dwarf. I like the dwarf.
Yeah, dwarf was the toughest.
Yeah.
She was the most magic-y.
Yeah.
And quite nimble as well. She can spin. And,
yeah.
Yeah, apparently James had a big soft spot for her.
Yeah.
And still to this day, you know, he's got a bit of a red bikini kind of weak spot.
Oh, good on him.
Loves himself a pixelated woman. But she was, I mean, I remember that game because that I don't remember anything looking quite as... It sounds stupid now, but at the time, as real as that, when it came out, apart from maybe car games like...
Yeah.
Whatever it was called, the one with the red car in Miami. And
I think it was... you could say it was ahead of its time. Was it made by Sega, was it?
Yeah, Sega game, I think. Yeah. Because I managed to buy the arcade version for the Wii.
Nice.
So yeah, I've given that many a spin. Got really good at it as well.
Yeah.
Can complete it in 15 minutes.
Ooh.
Which I'm pretty impressed.
That's a short game.
Yeah, but I've proper steamed through it. I know where every bloody skeleton's going to jump out from and take them down.
Yeah.
Take them down straight away.
I like it when you can actually ride on dragons, can't you?
Yeah, they're good. Some cool dragons in it.
Shit.
So yeah, it's a nice one, James. That was a good shout.
We've got a regular listener, Martin.
Hey.
How's it going, Martin? A couple of weeks back, actually, it might be before Christmas, he asked us the choice of Cassandra from Wayne's World or Keenang from The Golden Child? Who would you rather? I think it was Cassandra all the way.
Misogynistic question, at least.
Well, he is a misogynist. But more, I guess, in terms of formative stuff, and I'm kind of with him on this to a degree, it, livening up Saturday Tea Times, Terry Hatcher in The New Adventures of Superman.
Yeah, she was pretty tidy.
Yeah, yeah, she was good. And then
that show is a pile of shit, though.
Yeah, it's dog shit. It's not aged well. But I remember enjoying it at the time.
Yeah, that guy just... I don't know, I had trouble accepting him. I don't know why. I just like Christopher Reeves. I didn't want to see this young sort of fucking NFL style dickhead trying to steal the throne.
He was a bit big, wasn't he?
He had a bit of a blunt face. And he wasn't really very tall either.
No.
He was kind of like McVeigh size, you know. Low blow.
But yeah, Terry Hatcher, I remember when we used to rent videos around the times of, like, I think it was before, I'm going to go with Showgirls era.
Yeah.
We were quite excited with this film of Terry Hatcher's coming out called Heaven's Prisoners.
Okay.
In which she went full frontal.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a shit film. But that's all I remember is her being Starkers in it.
That's a slightly strange move because she seemed to have a definite Hollywood springboard about to happen.
I know.
Seems a strange time to be whipping out the boosh.
I know, weird. And then I think a couple of years after that, she was one of the Bond girls, wasn't she? Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember quite a seedy scene with whoever the Bond was.
Brosnan,
yeah. Brosnan basically seduces her in quite a clever way and then has a look in his eye like, you fucking idiot. I remember thinking, that's a bit out of order, actually. I'm not sure I like James Bond. He's not a very nice person. It was the 90s. I had a bit more empathy for the women.
Yeah.
So
it's very forward thinking, isn't it?
Yeah, fucking A.
You're a good man.
Yeah. Have you got any more? Any more?
No, that's it, really. I think I worry that this might just start coming across as fucking lecherous.
I've got one more thing to throw in on this is. Again, mentioning Martin was bigging up Sin City 2, so which I was very, I didn't want to see it because I don't really like Eva Green. I find it a bit annoying, but watched it, really, really fucking enjoyed it. Thought it was great. I even preferred it to the first one.
Really?
Thought a lot more stylish to look at, a lot more refined, the kind of the look of what they're doing. You can see the CG's evolved a lot.
Yeah, and, true.
Felt more of a film as well rather than pockets of a film. I don't know, like the first one's very much different stories, isn't it? It felt more like I was watching maybe two stories rather than five.
Okay.
I think
the best way to watch Sin City is watch them as individual stories.
Right, yeah.
I kind of like them because it's true to the comic in that regard. I think what I didn't like about Sin City 2 was it was too little too late, I think. And two of the stories were just made up ones. It's like you've got a load of comics there, man.
Oh, right,
why don't you just pull from one of those?
Which was made up then?
The one with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and the gambling.
Oh, really?
And the other one with Nancy and Marv.
Oh, right.
It does kind of tie into the same story.
Yeah. Cool. But I like the Gordon-Levitt one, though.
Oh, it's a good story, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But there's no bloody...
Oh, fuck you!
The Joseph Gordon-Levitt story I thought was... I really like that, but it's because I went to see Sin City based on the fact that I've read the books loads of times. I wanted to see those things moving.
That's fair enough,
you know what I mean? I wanted them live action.
Yeah.
And I only got two out of four. But actually, the other one, the one that opens it, the one with Marv, just another Saturday night, when he takes those guys with the tramp and he takes them to the project. That's really good. That's from I think it's called Boobs, Broads and Bullets, and it's just like a bunch of really short Sin City tales, and it's just perfect. Back on his own turf and just people shit flinging arrows at him. It's like, where the fuck are these guys? And then someone gets strung up. It's like, who's holding the noose? It's crazy. But yeah, I do love Sin City a lot.
A great quote from Rodriguez on the I was watching some of the extras because I got the Blu-ray for my birthday.
Alright,
I got the Double Bill Blu-ray.
Ooh, shit.
Basically, like, Rodriguez is saying he wanted to push it nearer to the comic, but he said he didn't want to bring the movies. No, he didn't want to bring comics to the movies. He wanted to make a comic that is a movie, and I think he really achieved that in that second one. I felt like And when I watched it back to back with the first, I noticed the first kind of, it looks great obviously, but it was a lot kind of a lot more sepia. It was like the second one felt a bit more like this is what I think he would have liked to have done straight away. It's
right.
It's quite a bit, it's just that bit more into the style, I think, which
okay.
Well, they both of them work great, and really like the first one as well. Bruce Willis' story grates on me a bit because it's so fucking depressing.
Yeah,
but you know it's film noir, isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
but gonna get tragedy. Yellow bastard. You can't be yellow bastard. Well, the action figure of that fucker comes with a whip and syringe.
Oh man, you need to get that. You as the yellow bastard on Facebook.
Yeah, I haven't got any pictures of it. That was a good do. Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, I went to a Halloween party after Sin City came out. I had shaved head at the time, and I went as yellow bastard.
It was good.
It was. I thought it was a strong look.
It was really good. Actually,
it was quite
too good.
Yeah. There was one guy at the party who couldn't even look at me. I was talking to him. He's like, "I'm sorry, mate. I can't talk to you. You're freaking me out." And I remember walking there to the party. I'd just been to the off license as well.
Yeah.
And the guys in the shop didn't really bat an eye because it was Halloween.
Yeah.
But I'm walking up the street and people were coming to me, and then they were crossing over the road to avoid me. Yeah, good stuff. Well, we'll try and dig out a picture of that shit. But I guess the reason we're on about Sin City is
Eva Green,
who is not shy.
Yeah, like basically, I've got a newfound respect for Eva Green.
Yeah, you had beef prior to this, didn't you?
Yeah, I always found it really annoying, like especially like Casino Royale. She's like, "Oh, Mr. Bond, all the girls talk about you." Fuck off! You're supposed to believe this person's some top end spy assistant or whatever.
Yeah, and he's also by that Bond falls deeply in love with her.
She's more like head girl or something.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But anyway, but yeah, because you know Jessica Alba gets all this credit for her sort of, like you were saying, stripping without taking her clothes off.
Mm.
Doing that. Do, 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 do. Woo!
Yeah. That's chaps.
Yeah, and like never kind of kept it real by, you know, showing her assets, which I think for a film that kind of required that seemed a bit lame. And
I mean it's a bit, if an actress doesn't want to do that, that's fine.
Yeah,
but at the same time, the very subject matter of being a stripper,
yeah,
it's kind of in the job title.
Yeah, it's sort of like playing the Elephant Man and then just pulling a silly face like that guy at the Hangover is about to do. Oh yeah, that looks shit. Yeah. But yeah, I like the fact that you'd have a scene with Jessica Alba doing a kind of "Ooh, my sexy dance," and that with the clothes on, and then follow it like bang, Eva Green, like, ta-da, fuck you.
Yeah. But I think she gets them out so frequently in that film, I did become desensitized. As I think I said when we reviewed this last year, I just became a bit numb. I was like, yeah, they're great first couple of times, yeah. But then you're like, come on, I don't know, I'm not complaining. It sounds like I am. But yeah,
trying to watch the film.
Yeah, can't sustain firmly up.
But yeah, it was quite stylishly shot the way. Just a lot of scenes, she was totally naked, wasn't she? And it didn't really feel like you were watching some dirty porn.
No,
true. It was very stylishly done. It's probably why she did it.
Yeah,
and hats off to her for keeping it real.
Yeah,
because she was shit in everything else I've ever seen, especially Franklin, in which she plays a fucking mopey daft cow.
I'd like to see Franklin.
It's not a bad film. I've got it if you ever want to borrow it. You know,
thanks. Yeah,
I'll lend it you, and then you can sit in your house for 12 months until I just take it back.
Touché.
Hey.
I'm a sexy boy.
Okay, we've got another one from Bessie Smith now, which links very nicely with our next two sections. And this one's called "A Good Man Is Hard to Find."
Man,
hard to find. You always get another kind. Yeah, so when you think that he's your past, you're looking fine and fooling round some old gal in your race. You are crazy. You wanna see him down in his grave. So if your man is nice, take my advice. Hug him in the morning, kiss him at night. Give him plenty of love and treat your good man right. For the good man nowadays sure is hard to find. Oh, the good man is so hard to find. We always get that rough old kind. Just when you think that he's your pal, you look and find him hanging round some old gal. Then you rave, child, you crave. You wanna see him dead, laying in his grave. So if your man is nice, take my advice. Hug him in the morning, kiss him at night. Give him plenty smack, madam, treat your man right. All the good man nowadays sure is hard to find.
Okay, so one angle we were hoping to get, which we weren't able to get, was kind of like gay take on things. For like, yeah. What would get the gay trousers down?
Exactly. But obviously we didn't have anyone coming to us with that. So we're not even going to try and second guess anyone. But we can talk about man crushes, I guess.
Yeah, I mean...
like, fellas that you'd get a broner for. As a heterosexual man, someone who you'd think, I'm not gay, but if I was...
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to set the bar really high. Shia LaBeouf, the beef.
Oh, shit.
I think he's had ups and downs, but his most recent outing in that video by Sia, I don't know if you've seen it, it's an astonishing video.
Mm.
It's powerful. He looks ripped, he's got a good beard.
Right.
And yeah, I think...
Good stuff. So we're saying what? If we were gay,
yeah.
Who the trousers had come down for?
Yeah, I'd say so.
That's a tough one, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
I
think like someone like Gosling, I think he might be a bit boring. Not like sexy wise. I just think I'd have nothing to say to him. And I think he might be I don't know. I've never really actually thought about this.
I think probably Gosling strikes me as someone who's not gonna have a big dirty hairy ass like, you know.
that's true.
In that sense.
Hairless. Like an action man.
I know I've got one bit of insight actually, because I remember being told that after Brokeback came out, it's like an obvious thing to say, but apparently after Brokeback I heard that gay guys started fancying straight guys more because of Heath Ledger's character.
Okay.
Because he's like quite a burly, unshaven gay bloke, which
okay.
I don't think you've seen a lot of in the flicks.
No, not the ones we watch.
Yeah, because a couple of my friends who ended up at Climax one night were saying they were wearing both wearing kind of checkered kind of like cowboy style shirts.
Yeah.
You've got your partial to the odd
yes,
check shirt,
yeah.
And they said they kind of got a lot of attention because of those shirts.
Blimey.
You know, on the back of Heath Ledger, apparently.
Oh.
So, although I wouldn't say either of them, James or Rene, look particularly Ledger-like, but handsome chaps nonetheless.
Oh.
I even worked at Climax once, because it's part of the university, and I was working behind a bar at the time.
How was it?
It's good. Yeah, I mean, most gay nights will only get gay stuff in, but because it's the university, it's like equal opportunities. So, but not everybody who goes there realizes that. I think apparently one night some gay student guy went up to one of the biggest bouncers and grabbed his balls.
Jesus, that's a swift exit. Isn't it?
got asked politely to leave.
Blimey.
But no, it's cool. I had a good time doing the climax nights, and there's always, you get like a guy ask you if you want a drink, and I'd just say, well, I'm straight, to be honest, and they'd say, fuck it, buy one anyway.
That's
like,
nice.
Yeah, nice one.
That's good.
Have a pint with them, have a chat.
So yeah, I guess we can't with this kind of thing. All we can say is handsome men, but I don't know if that's going to be, it's because it might be obvious to go with someone like Bradley Cooper, or I mean, he's a good looking fella. So is Brad Pitt, you know what I mean?
But I'd have to go for Michael Keaton, I think. Yeah. Topically.
Of course you would.
Yeah, yeah.
I never thought of Michael Keaton as a handsome man. He's quite peculiar looking, I think.
Yeah, he's unusual. Yeah. Unusual. Yeah. Your eyes look slightly Keaton-esque at
Do they?
Times. Yeah, you're kind of disdainful eyebrows.
Well, thank you. I do pride myself on my expressive brows.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we've kind of run out of steam on the gay angle.
Yeah, it's a shame we didn't get a gay friend in.
Really. I know.
I think we're partly worried about. It's quite a difficult thing to ask.
I think it could be, yeah.
Without looking like you're taking the piss out of the person.
Yeah, because that's genuinely not what we're trying to do. We're just it's more of a curiosity.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sharing
of
tales.
Yeah. I mean, what other? Can you think of any gay films? Chuck and Buck, which leads me to another story actually.
Oh.
It was when I first started my first sort of career job, I was working late one night with my old boss Dan. We were going to hit the pub, both of us were like a bit knackered, and I said, oh, I'm just going to go home. Stan said, well look, when we get a film out, just chill out back at mine, you know, in a blokey heterosexual way,
of course.
And I'd heard of this great film called Chuck and Buck. And so we put Chuck and Buck on, and halfway through that turned into gay porn. And I was kind of I had to sort of say to my new boss, like, this wasn't my plan. this wasn't my intention. So
yeah, it's a bleak, funny. it's a grim film, Chuck and Buck, if I recall.
Yeah, it was a good watch though. I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'd watch it again.
Yeah. You know.
But it's basically about a stalker situation, isn't it? But in a kind of friendly way.
There's a film that I remember watching years ago called Threesome, which has Stephen Baldwin, I think, the one who's in Big Brother, and I think Lara Flynn Boyle. And it was essentially a straight guy, a gay guy, and a girl, and they ended up sharing a flat. And also, at the end of the film, a moment in bed, and. Mm-hmm. I suppose that was quite brave for the time in terms of addressing, well, both for like the filmmakers and I guess the Baldwin dude before he went mental and religious, playing a guy who could go both ways.
Is he the one from Usual Suspects?
Shit, yes he is.
Good film.
Yeah, but yeah, Threesome, yeah, not bad if I recall correctly. So yeah, here at the Beast, we like to think of ourselves as forward thinkers, equal opportunity employers, and all that.
Yep.
So it's only fair that ladies get to voice an opinion. We didn't get much feedback, but Jim did corral his lovely wife Melissa into representing womankind.
Yes, she
on
was
this hot topic.
she was quite reluctant to do it. She seemed a bit nervous about it, and I thought, oh, maybe this won't work, but. I kind of persisted, and she eventually reluctantly agreed. And I was thinking she probably won't say much. And then as soon as I fucking hit record, I think she'd just drunk a glass of wine, and it seems to have just gone straight to her head. And she just started cackling like a madwoman. I even thought about just stopping the recording, but no, it's quite funny, but.
It's an insight as well into the
female angle on this topic.
Exactly, so a witness.
But nothing compares
Right, so I'm here with my wife, Melissa, who's reluctantly agreed to be on the podcast. And she's looking at her fucking phone. What is she looking at?
It's
fucking rude.
Okay, sorry. Right. I'll put it there.
I'll move my rude wife. Not taking this very seriously. Feeling a bit...
Sorry.
I'm not feeling great because I just got hit. I hit the Muppet Rob the co-op and I got fucking run into with his bike. My leg's hurting. So, we're doing the Valentine's special, the romantic theme. I want to ask, because like me and McVeigh are both, you know, two straight, boring guys, we wanted to get a different angle on it and you've agreed to give us the female insight.
I didn't agree. You've made me.
Right. Well, you're not. You know, you're here with your own free will, aren't you?
Yeah. Yes, dear.
You've agreed to give us your insight, the female insight into recommended things to watch or listen to with your trousers down. So go for it. What would you recommend?
I thought you weren't going to call it that.
All right, but something that puts you in the mood. Love.
I don't know. Well, at the minute I like Constantine.
Constantine, okay, the TV show.
He's the first actor that I actually IBDM'd to find out who it was.
IMDb. Matt Ryan. Yeah. Why is he a handsome chap?
He's quite rugged.
Uh-huh.
Like rugged, like Wolverine.
All right, Wolverine. Okay, so any thoughts on Wolverine?
Well, he's pretty hot.
Right. Okay. So any favorite Wolverine film?
I get the Mummy. I get them all mixed up. I don't know what they're called. I'm not a fucking film geek like you.
But what about? Like the main for me, the main Wolverine film is X-Men 2. It's the one where he's the most badass, and you know he's got his claws out the most. I think.
Yeah.
How about X-Men 2?
The one where he's got his top off. I don't know. That's all of them.
Yeah. This is a mistake, wasn't it? Alright, what about music that gets you in the mood, because I know you like to watch and take that photo and you like to watch old men dance around in the 50s or however old they are now.
Not in the 50s, maybe early 40s.
Aren't you going to go and see them again?
Yeah, in May.
Isn't there a way they're early 40s?
Yeah, I saw them. They're only a few years older than us.
Excuse me. Well, they played my school when they were about, when I was about 14, and they were about
probably like
20.
8, 17, 18.
No way. They were mainly about 20 odd. Mm. So they've got, most of them have got at least 7 or 8 years on us, actually. So they're kind of pushing 50.
If they've got 7 years on us, that's 44.
I reckon Gary Barlow's pushing 50.
No, is he heck? Google it, I bet you.
I'm not going to bother.
Okay.
So you're going to go and see him, aren't you?
Yes.
When?
May.
Okay.
The 22nd.
Do I get to go to a strip club and watch some chicks dance around?
No, it's not the same thing.
Not at all, no. Why not?
Well, because there's a band.
It's music.
And they're in a big stadium, so they're about that big.
Right.
And it's not, they're not stripping or dancing around a pole, so...
Right. Well, they are stripping a bit, aren't they? I mean... I've seen some lurid take that stuff.
Have you?
There was that video where they're all lying around in jelly.
I can't remember that one. I bet YouTube it.
About One Direction.
No. I'm old enough to be their mother.
That doesn't stop Helen Clark fancying them.
know she's a teacher.
I won't tell you said that.
I think James listens. Anything else? Anything else come to mind?
Superman.
The Brandon Routh Superman.
Yeah.
What is it that attracts you to him?
Well, he's just pretty fit.
Yeah.
Muscly. I quite liked the new Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't know what
Rocket Raccoon.
Is. No.
Groot.
No. Yeah, that one. Yeah. Yoda's pretty fit.
You fancy Groot. Yeah. I suppose he's got, his vines could go up to no good, couldn't they? You're on about Chris Pine, is it?
I have no idea. I haven't IBDM'd
him. He's in the new Jurassic Park, apparently.
If I got that right, is it IBDM?
It's IMDb, Internet Movie Database.
I got the DB right. What did I say?
I married a dopey bitch. So, any other female insights into, romantic viewing or listening or whatever? Whatever you want, anything. Or just in general in life. When I grow a bushy beard.
Yeah.
Does that get the trousers down?
Yes, dear.
Okay, so anything else you want to add? That's what you want to ask.
Cheers.
Is there anything you want to say to the Meat for the Beast listeners?
I need a medal for putting up with this dickhead.
She's a maniac.
So that was the Valentine's kind of Valentine's themed episode. So have a great romantic Valentine's Day. We hope we've added to it somehow.
Yeah.
Maybe playlist to your partner.
Yeah.
To help, help get the trousers down or whatever.
Yeah.
Or the skirt up.
Yeah. I'm just saying, yeah, no. Yeah, I think we've run out of, for want of a better term, we've run out of lube.
Oh,
we've dried up.
Jesus. The trousers are firmly on.
We're down to the tater water.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, it's not good.
Cigarette?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for listening. And thanks for enduring with us.
Yep. And let's give the beast some meat.